Bankruptcies have been on the decline in recent years, but will that continue if we slip into recession? Hi, I'm Rob West. Economists have long linked a decline in economic activity with an increase in bankruptcy, both business and personal. But bankruptcy isn't the easy way out that it once was. I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, with the Fed dramatically increasing interest rates to slow inflation, many analysts are predicting a recession will hit the U.S. within the next year. But bankruptcies are seen as a lagging indicator of a slowing economy. It takes time for companies to begin laying off people as revenues shrink. The unemployment rate remains low, but that trend will end if we enter a recession, especially if it's a prolonged downturn in the gross domestic product. That said, it may be time for a refresher course on an unpopular topic, bankruptcy. When someone can no longer pay their bills and has mounting debt, bankruptcy often seems like the only way out. But there are things you should know before ever considering bankruptcy. And to be clear, we're not saying that bankruptcy is never the answer to financial difficulty. Sometimes you have no choice. But we often get calls from folks who are considering bankruptcy, and in many cases, they still have other options, like getting into a debt management plan like the one offered by our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. And you always want to explore those options first, because while bankruptcy might seem like a quick way to end your debt problems, well, there's nothing quick about it. It has a long-term impact on your credit score. That's why bankruptcy should only be considered as the absolute last resort. It's one of the worst things you can do for your score and your credit report in general. The exact impact will vary depending on the individual and the credit scoring agency, so you can only estimate how much it might drop. It's definitely counterintuitive, but the higher your credit score before bankruptcy, the more it will drop after. For example, let's say your FICO score is 700, which is in the good range. After bankruptcy, expect it to drop by 200 points or more. But if your score was only 680, it might only drop about 150 points. But either way, the effect is huge. The long-term damage is also significant, but here again, the length of the damage depends on several factors, the most important one being the type of bankruptcy you file. This is where a lot of confusion comes in. You'll hear the damage lasts 7 years or sometimes 10 years. Well, which one is it? Well, to make it even more confusing, it's Chapter 7 bankruptcy that stays on your credit report for 10 years, and then only the public record of the bankruptcy. All other references remain on your report for only 7 years, and they would include a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, any accounts included in a bankruptcy of either type, and any third-party collection debts, judgments, and tax liens discharged through a bankruptcy of either type. Now, why the difference, 7 or 10 years? Well, because with a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, your debts are wiped out or discharged. But with a Chapter 13, you agree to make at least partial payments on your accounts. So it would seem the court is trying to give you a break there. And here's another break. You may see your score actually improve slightly right after the initial drop. That's because your debts will be reported as discharged or partially discharged. That's because technically, and I stress technically, you no longer owe those amounts. That could help your credit utilization rate, the amount of debt you're carrying versus your total available credit, if you still have any. But it'll take time for your credit score to make any significant improvement. The black marks from a bankruptcy will be factored in for as long as they appear in your credit report. Still, the damage will gradually decrease over time. FICO estimates that it'll take roughly 5 years for a person with a 680 credit score before bankruptcy to get back to that score. And that's only if they don't get into more credit trouble along the way. Now, how should Christians view bankruptcy? Well, as we said, it should only be considered as a last resort. But if it's inevitable and you've sought godly advice, you may have to file. But remember, Christians should never look at bankruptcy as a way to get out of paying what we owe. Look at Proverbs 3:27, which says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it." If your circumstances change and you can begin to repay your creditors even after bankruptcy, you should do it. Companies write off bad debt, and for ease of bookkeeping, they might decline to receive your payment. But even then, imagine the powerful testimony you'd give by trying to pay a debt that's been legally discharged. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
What needs to be told to these black men is get a job, stop fathering children that you can't take care of, stop hanging out in the streets, and stop acting like the cops are your enemy anytime you interact with them, particularly when you're interacting with them in a situation where you know they've come expecting potential trouble because of the circumstances you've allowed yourself to be in. How about trying that?
Weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
Listen to the French accent that she puts on when talking to these guys.
We campaign with the plan.
The plan. Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States.
Quitte, quitte your fuel.
Just doing a French accent.
Does your dog bite?
The plane.
That too.
All right, that's enough Kamala Harris reporting.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones. Create a will and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions. And you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions on anything financial today. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Coming up on the broadcast today, in addition to your calls, we'll tackle a community question that came into us about buying in a seller's market. Well, it's transitioning. We have an interesting housing market going on. It's cooling. I don't expect prices to dip. We still have inventory constraints in this country with regard to housing, but the rising interest rates, the looming recession, all of that leading to a cooling in the housing market, perhaps not as strong of a seller's market, and yet housing prices still sky high. What do you do about that? Well, we'll chat about that today. Also, an email that came in to us about giving real estate. What if you want to give a piece of property to your church or a charity? What does that look like? We'll tackle that today. That came to us from Ray. Also, your calls, of course. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We have lines open. Let's go to the phones right now. Arkansas is where Dwayne's located. You're first on the broadcast today, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes, I was needing a Christian accountant in Northwest Arkansas to do taxes.
Yes. Well, if you're looking for any kind of financial professional, Dwayne, we trust the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. That's the gold standard designation in this country for financial professionals, be it legal, financial planners, investment advisors, tax and accounting professionals, as well as insurance, who've met significant requirements with regard to experience and character, credibility, but also they've met high standards with regard to applying a biblical worldview to their financial advice. Pastor reference, client references, there's quite a bit that they go through to earn the CKA designation. So I think that could be a great starting point for you. I'd probably interview two or three. You just want to head to our website, moneywise.org, and click the button that says Find a CKA. There's about 1,200 of them around the country. Now, if you don't find one in the tax and accounting area in your area there in Arkansas, I would just reach out to any of the CKAs near you and ask for a referral to a godly tax preparer or accountant, and they can help you with that. But you just head to our website, moneywise.org, and click Find a CKA. Does that sound good?
I don't have access to the internet. Is there
a phone number
that I can reach them?
There's not, but I can offer an alternative. What I'm going to ask you to do is hold the line. I'll have Pat get your information, and I'll have somebody reach out to you and do that search with you on the phone and give you the information, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Very good. You hold the line. Thanks very much. 800-525-7000 to Ohio we go. Rex, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay. I am a widower, and recently I met this lady, and we have gotten close. So here we have talked a little bit about this, about what do you do with your money. I have money in the bank, and my house is paid for, and everything I have is paid for. Same with her. She has a house. Everything's paid for. So what we talked about was moving to a different house, selling both of our homes, moving to a different house. And then we kind of discussed about, okay, well, what do you do as far as living expenses and that type of thing? I have Social Security and a pension. She has Social Security and a pension. So together we're probably making about, I'm going to guess, $75,000 or $80,000 a year. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yes,
somewhere,
sir,
in that area. So how do you manage that kind of a situation?
Yeah. Well, are you asking? Go ahead.
I'm 70, she's 64, so we're later in life.
Yeah, very good. And Rex, is your question specifically about the assets that you're bringing into the marriage, or is it about how you handle things going forward with regard to your income and expenses from this point forward, or both?
I think mostly from this point forward, because we both decided that whatever we have as far as savings and that goes to our kids.
Yes, sir.
We both have.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be from this point forward.
Very good. Well, I would concur with that thinking. You know, a lot of times folks, when they get married later in life, will take this approach, and I think it's perfectly appropriate to say, you know what, we've got assets, we've got kids, perhaps from prior marriages, maybe a spouse is deceased or there's been a divorce, whatever it might be. But whatever was accumulated to this point, we want to draw a line in the sand and say, we want to pass that on to our heirs, and we're going to keep that separate. But I think from the point you marry forward, really the idea of marriage under the Lord is about oneness, you know, two flesh becoming one. And that includes our finances. And so what I would say to you is from the time you marry forward, I would look at that as an opportunity to say, we want to bring all of this together, trusting that the Lord has brought us together. And in this union, we're going to make finances joint. And so we're going to look at whatever income comes into the house, regardless whether that's from you or from her. It's for both of you. You'll establish your budget together prayerfully, looking at your values and priorities. Where do you think God is taking the two of you as a married couple, and how do you want to use the resources that He's entrusted to you collectively to carry that out? And so I would really look at that as an opportunity to drive toward oneness, even in this area of finance, as you look forward. I think the key, though, is really open and honest dialogue and communication prior to marriage, so that you get all of that on the table, you talk through it, including what lifestyle are we going to live, and how are we going to approach debt, and what do we want to do about giving? And, you know, I think it's really important for you all to really talk through that. Is one of you more prone to being a saver and the other a spender, and how are you going to navigate that? And that's where the budget, the spending plan, can actually be an instrument of peace. But it starts with the fundamental idea that God owns it all. We're stewards, now a steward together as one flesh, a married couple, and we're going to manage God's money together according to how He is leading us. It may result in, and I would recommend this, one bookkeeper, the person who's more prone to the details and wants to be the one to pay the bills and so forth, but you're making decisions together. But give me your thoughts on that.
Would you say, like, have one single checking account that everything goes in there, or
I would
separate accounts?
Yeah.
Okay, I understand, yeah.
Yeah, I would. You know, the problem with trying to keep everything separate is it just it fosters division. You know, this is mine and this is yours. And obviously a lot of folks are making that work, but I just think in a Christian marriage, we really should look at this as joint for everything and just say, you know what, as a married couple, we're going to move forward and do this together and make decisions together. And although that can be challenging at times, I think that's healthy to kind of live in that tension and find yourself on your knees, you know, working through that with the Lord together. So I would use one checking account, you know, have one budget, all of the income comes into one place, and then you all decide as a couple kind of how you want to handle that moving forward.
Okay, that sounds good. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely, Rex. Hey, congratulations on your upcoming marriage, sir. Thank you for calling today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. You know, that's a great question that we get so often. And a lot of folks out there are managing their finances as a married couple separately. Let me just challenge you not to do that. In fact, a study came out just recently about that very topic. I'll reference that just around the corner, because hopefully it will give you some encouragement to perhaps rethink that approach. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We'll be right back after this.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
In Matthew 24, Jesus said that in the end days, persecution would increase. In 2022, the persecution of Christians is at an historic high, yet most people are unaware. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. While we can pray for the persecuted, we can do more. Join me and Dee Dee Laugesen of Save the Persecuted Christians as we give the facts about worldwide persecution, Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
From the extraordinary to the mundane, the Lord is always building His kingdom. I'm Charles Morris. Listen to The Next Haven today, all week with me. 5 unique testimonies of people like you and me whose lives have been changed by Jesus in a series called Christians You Should Know.
Haven today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call, 800-525-7000. We have some lines open. This is the program where we apply God's principles to your financial decisions and choices, recognizing God's Word is replete with counsel about how we should handle finances. 2,350 verses, more than half the parables. Really, as we explore the Scriptures, we begin to understand the heart of God as it relates to our money. In fact, His money, because that's the starting point. When we recognize He's the owner and we're the manager or the steward, then that makes money a tool to accomplish His purposes. And here's the reality, is that really the way we handle our money is one of the clearest indicators into what we value. The late Larry Burkett said it like this: the way we handle money is the clearest indicator into what's going on in our lives spiritually as well, because it does say where we've placed our trust. The question is, are we happy with the story our spending is telling? And if not, what are we going to do about it? As we think about our lifestyle and any borrowing that we've done, and what about our giving, and thinking about saving for the future, all of that, and we put it under the Lordship of Christ, it changes how we approach it. Well, let's do that together. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Just before the break, we were talking to Rex about handling finances as a married couple. Here's what's interesting is, the latest data says that about 60% of couples will split at least part of their finances. 20% of couples separate their finances completely. And often the excuses that they give, and I think that's what they are, is that they, well, maybe they have different money personalities, so they want to avoid arguments. Maybe they have different financial goals. Some couples say they separate their accounts because of different money management styles, or they want to handle their finances separately because they don't trust each other to make good financial decisions. So in other words, couples think separating their finances will help them avoid fighting in about their differences. Well, what is a Christian marriage supposed to be? Well, it's the union of two people in Christ, an example to the world of the relationship between Christ and His church. You remember Jesus said in Matthew 19, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. The two will become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." You know, separating your finances is a step toward disunity in a marriage, and that's entirely opposite of what God intended. His design for marriage is oneness. We all know that money fights in marriage are normal. We all have them, but we don't want to use fear of arguments as an excuse to bring or to break fellowship in the area of finances. Instead, fight for unity in all areas of your relationship. I would encourage you to keep your finances together so it's not a his money, her money situation. It's not even your money, really. As I just said, it's God's money. I think we should confess our fear and selfishness, even our resentment in this area about money, to the Lord and to each other. I think we need to pray together about this particular topic and ask God to help us work toward unity in the area of money management. We should also commit to love each other in this area the way we promised to do on our wedding days and ask God to help with this area too. But it's going to require patience with each other. These are personal issues. Here's the thing, though. Your relationship is far more important. So look for compromises and middle ground. If you're a spender and your spouse would rather save every penny, well, create a plan that allows for a little bit of both. And finally, if you don't have one, make a joint budget. Your spending plan can take the pressure off both of you when you're making financial decisions. You know, there's so much more that we could say about this particular topic, but if you're married and you have separate finances, let me encourage you to consider today restoring Christ-like unity in this area. I know it will go a long way. My friend and researcher Shanti Feldhahn recently released a book on this topic. And, you know, as she began to explore it, she found that really two things were key to overcoming the money challenges that present themselves in marriage. One of them was having margin. It really wasn't about the amount of money that a particular couple made in terms of having unity in this area of finance. It was about the margin, because you can make a significant amount of money, but if you're living right up to the edge without any margin, that creates challenges. So having that margin, living below your means, was really key. And then second was communication, making sure you foster open and honest and regular dialogue and communication is really key to having a healthy marriage relationship in this area of finances. So what do you do next? Well, perhaps you step away and pray individually. Ask God to really open your minds and your hearts toward what He has for you in this area of finances as a married couple. Then come back together on your knees, asking the Lord to give you wisdom. Create that spending plan that's an accurate reflection, not of one of you, but of both of you and the family and where God is taking you. And perhaps build in some margin for each of you. You know, a budget or a spending plan could include a piece of that budget that's uniquely yours and uniquely hers, and vice versa, allowing each of you to do what you want with that portion. It doesn't have to be restrictive. Again, it can be an instrument of peace in the marriage as you move forward, because you've got a plan. You've given every dollar a name. You've decided in advance, and so there's no more finger pointing. Of course, you'll have to make changes and adjustments along the way, but it's really key. So have some margin, live below your means, make sure you take the time to pray through this decision, have a plan, but also communicate. Having open and honest dialogue is really key. And to our caller earlier, Rex, if you're marrying later in life, well, it's more important then to take the time to actually talk it through. Think about how you're going to approach it. You've obviously been doing this a long, long time separately. And so now as you bring this together, it's going to take some work. But here's the thing, it will be well worth it if you take the time to put this under the Lordship of Christ and pursue His best in this area of finances. It will have a positive impact on your marriage. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your calls and questions. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you right now. Stick around.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, mm-hmm. but this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Let's go right back to the phones. Donna's in North Carolina. And Donna, did you want to weigh in on this topic of marital finances?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, been married a little while. 55 years, August will be.
That's great.
Rob and I are both Christians. And you know, I'm just realizing when you were sharing earlier and talking to the gentleman that's getting ready to get married and talking about where some marriages do their finances different, you know.
Yes.
And we definitely are in that category of people that we do some things together, but mostly we do have separate accounts and make decisions based on what we feel like we want to do that particular, you know, month or whatever, with our giving also to that separate. And I just have always felt that that's a spiritual, because money is close to our heart.
Yeah.
And I feel like that God wants us to be in agreement in all areas of our marriage. And I also believe that where our heart is, that's, you know, money shows where our heart is.
Yes,
a lot of times too. And so with all that said, I really believe and have believed for years that a lot of the things that we have struggled with, if you will, has been because of not coming together in agreement with each other and with God about what we do with our money and how we give and, you know, so forth.
Yes.
So I have a different take on it than my husband does, although he's very much a integrity person and very frugal,
sure.
No doubt about it. I'm more of the, what do you call, the spender and the compulsive behavior person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how we got started here, if you will, many years ago, was because I just had to get disciplined. I had to learn to be more disciplined.
Yes.
And it was driving him crazy. So I'm going to take my responsibility in it. But now that I am where I am in my walk with the Lord and all, I really feel like it's time for us to change those tables and do differently. And I really would love it if y'all would pray for us. What I feel that we need is to sit down with a third party, maybe a pastor or somebody, and let them walk with us through this journey of making a budget with each other.
Yes.
So that it would bring unity. And I would just appreciate prayer about that.
Well, I'd be delighted to do that. Donna, thank you for sharing your story today, for your transparency. And I think I resonate with everything you're saying, you know, especially early in marriage. And a lot of this is cultural, too. You know, generations prior to the current generation, you know, money was a taboo topic and often was kind of, you know, it wasn't talked about among family members. Certainly very little was shared with the children. And obviously, we always have to be careful with what we share, making sure it's age appropriate. But, you know, folks were very closely guarded with their finances. And I can also understand starting out, especially if there was, you know, some spending issues and, you know, undisciplined spending and how that could create challenges. And all of that just led to kind of you all starting out with things separate. And then you never did the hard work to bring it back together. And it is hard work because it takes a lot of trust. It takes a lot of open communication, working together. It's actually easier just to say, all right, you take care of this, I'll take care of that, and let's just do our thing. And yet I believe that when we do the hard work and we put it under the Lordship of Christ and we say, you know what, we want to bring this together because we know at the end of the day it's going to foster unity and drive toward oneness, which was God's plan for all aspects of our marriage, including our finances, then we'll reap the benefit of that. But it's going to be harder before it gets better. But I think your approach to it and saying, listen, I'm going to own the part of it that was mine where we saw breakdowns early on, but I want to bring this back together because I think our marriage will benefit from that. And let's have some accountability. Let's work together on it. I'll own my part. You own yours. And let's do this together. And God will be honored at the end. So I love this plan. I think you could certainly seek out some a pastor that could walk with you. I would also offer our MoneyWise coaches. These are men and women who are seasoned in their faith, that really their ministry is just to walk alongside other believers at no cost, just to help them put spending plans together and debt repayment plans. And we could actually have a coach connect with the two of you, if your husband was open to it, to provide that third-party accountability virtually, where you all would meet you know, once a week or every couple weeks and begin to work on this new plan, bringing it all together. They would pray with you and encourage you. So if that's of interest to you, we'd be happy to make that available. But before we let you go, Donna, can I pray for you?
Yes, please.
All right, and let's do that.
I will ask my husband about that, but I think he'll be open to it.
Great. Great. Well, that's great. Donna, let's pray. Father, we just lift Donna and her husband up to you right now. We just thank you for her openness and transparency today. Lord, we just ask that you would intervene here. Lord, we want to see their marriage flourish even more and be all that you intended it to be. And I just pray that you would open their hearts and their minds, each of them, to what you'd have for them in this area of finance as they join that together, Lord, and tell you that they trust you, that you're preeminent in their lives, and as they're transparent and even vulnerable in this, Lord, that you would do a work and that the result of this would be even greater unity and oneness that would honor you and be a testimony to the world as well. So we commit them to you and just ask that you would have your way. And we tell you in advance, we love you and we're most thankful for Jesus. Amen. Well, Donna, thank you for your call today. And if we can be of help to you, don't hesitate to call back. God bless you. Jesse's in Tennessee. Jesse, I understand you want to continue this conversation. Tell me about your thoughts on marriage and finances. Hi, Jesse, are you with us?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. Yes.
That's okay. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering two questions. We're close to retirement age. Both of us are like 4 years out, and with the way things are in our country right now, we're seeing a decline in both of our 401ks.
Yeah.
And mine's much smaller than his because I've only been with the company 15 years. He's been with them for nearly 30, and okay. He invested more. So I was wondering if it'd be wise to withdraw my 401k early and pay off our home, or should I just let it ride the tide and see what happens?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, as far as a couple, okay. We've been together over 30 years. We've done things separately because in our early stages of marriage, we were idiots and we just didn't live godly whatsoever.
Yeah. Very good. Well, Jesse, I appreciate that transparency today on both topics, and I'd love to weigh in on that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on how to approach this 401k. Should you pay off the house? Should you let it ride? And some thoughts on putting your finances together after a long time. We'll be right back on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
With each new law and Supreme Court decision, our country seems to be spiraling deeper and deeper into moral decline. Is there anything we can do right now to turn the tide of America's future? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress talks about how Christians can be salt and light in a decaying society. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at MoneyWise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at MoneyWise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Just before the break, we were talking to Jesse in Tennessee. They're married over 30 years. They are asking, or Jesse's asking, about whether she should take money from a 401k that's down along with the markets in this recent volatility. We just tipped in the last several weeks to a bear market, down 20% from recent highs. Should she pull some money out, pay off the house? And Jesse, here's my approach, but a couple of questions first. How long would you say you all have before you would like to retire? How many years?
Both of us 4 years out.
Okay, 4 years. And what is the remaining term on that mortgage? If you continued on the current payoff plan,
it would be paid off in 10 years.
10 years. Okay, very good. And do you all have any margin after all the bills are paid on a monthly basis that you could actually add something to that mortgage payment if you wanted to?
Yes, we do have a little bit.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, you know, my approach would be if you can leave that 401k intact, I would do that. Number one, that's going to be expensive money in the sense that when you pull it out, you're going to have to pay tax on it. Number two is you've already lost value, as you've said, because the market's down. Now, could it go down further from here? Absolutely. And I would expect that it would, especially if we officially find ourselves in a recession. I think there's probably a 75% chance we're already in one. But if we see that, the market will have further declines. However, I think the market will recover well before we get out the other side of it, which means probably later this year, maybe early next year we'll start to see the market rebound. I would hate to see you lock in those unrealized losses right now to pay off the house. What I would love, though, for you to be able to do is to sync the payoff of the mortgage with your retirement date. And so whether that's a combination of, you know, you all adding a little bit to that mortgage payment every month to take that 10-year mortgage and get it paid off in four, I think that would be great. But if you could have it paid off by the time you retire, then as you're entering that retirement season, it takes your largest expense, your mortgage, and it takes it off the table, which means you need, you know, less money on a monthly basis, which is obviously the idea. Is if you can live as modestly as possible, then that means you need less that you'd have to pull from your investments to supplement Social Security. So I think that would be my preference. Now, if you're not able to do that just based on adding additional surplus to your mortgage payment because you just don't have enough surplus, then maybe you take a little bit each year from the 401k, or you wait until you get closer to retirement and see after the 401k has rebounded, and then go ahead and pay off that remaining balance, whatever it might be at that point. But I wouldn't do that now. I'd let that 401k recover over the next couple of years, and I'd try to send a little extra to the mortgage company to try to get that balance down as much as you can. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's great. Thank you.
Okay. Very good, Jesse. God bless you. We appreciate your call today. Let's head to Virginia. Brenda, you're next on the program. Go right ahead. Hi, Brenda. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you
Great.
For taking my call.
Turn down your radio for me just a bit, and then you go right ahead.
Okay. The radio's off.
Okay, excellent.
I don't know what happened, but...
No
okay.
problem.
I have a kind of a difficult situation. My mom passed away in January, and I am a co-executor with my brother on the will, and there's four siblings, and my youngest sister is stage four terminal cancer, and she's living at my mom's house. Being one of the executors on the will, we're looking at selling her house, and you know, we don't know whether we need to move on it right now because of the way the market is and the interest rates going up, or should we hold on to the house and try to wait a little later, you know, to think about selling it.
Sure. Brenda, are there other factors other than just maximizing the value of the property? Are there other factors that play into this in terms of the timing?
No.
Okay. So it's really just about how you can sell it right now or you can wait. You have both options and you're just wondering what would be best as it relates to getting as much money out of the home as possible. Is that correct?
Right, for doing the, you know, for handling it. You know, my mom's will, she wanted the house sold immediately.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Brenda, I would say let's go ahead and do that right away. I mean, we're still in a very strong housing market. It's beginning to cool as interest rates head up. They're going to continue to head up. Now, I don't think we'll see as significant a jump as we already have in mortgage rates. We've essentially seen rates double from below 3% to now north of 6.5%. We're not going to see it continue at that pace, even though the Federal Reserve is going to continue to raise rates over the balance of this year. But it's still, despite that, a very strong housing market, and it's really driven by a lack of inventory. You know, we're about 2 to 3 million homes short in this country versus the need that exists today. And a lot of that is due to the millennials turning 30 and they're wanting to buy single family homes to start their families as a result of the pandemic. A lot of people are working remotely, moving out of densely populated urban areas to more suburb type areas looking for single family homes because they're able to work from home. And so a lot of those factors have led to just a real demand, high demand for housing, and that's caused housing prices to be elevated. So given that, and given that we could be in a recession here later this year, I would say go ahead and put it on the market now. We're probably not in the days any longer where, in 24 hours you'd get 15 offers, but you know, it's still very strong, and I suspect you could sell it for top dollar. So this is actually a great time to sell it, and I'd go ahead with that.
Should we, like, there are some things that we could do for repairs, but we didn't know whether we need to take some of the cash money that's in the estate and try to, you know, fix the house up or just go with the house like it is.
Yeah, I would get the counsel of a real estate professional on that, Brenda. Yeah, it really depends upon what these things are. And a real estate professional could help you determine not only which things to repair, but also which things to leave and just disclose and let the next buyer take care of. Also, they can help you with the staging of the property as well. Just how do you get it ready to sell it and maximize the value when you show it? But depending on what these things are, in some cases, it makes sense to go ahead and knock them out because it may be something that will hurt you. In other cases, it doesn't make sense because you won't get that money back. And it'd be better to let the next owner decide how they want to handle that particular thing. So I would interview a couple of realtors, perhaps one of them, find the person that has the most signs in your neighborhood or in the neighborhood of this home or the surrounding neighborhood, somebody who really specializes in that area, because they might even have a buyer before it goes on the market. But they can give you some counsel on which things to repair and which things to leave, okay?
Thank you so much. That's so helpful.
Very good, Brenda. You're welcome. God bless you, and thank you for calling today. Let's head to Oklahoma. Debbie, you're next on the program. How can I help? Hi, Debbie. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Go right ahead.
So my husband and I have been married for about 12 years, and he's a war veteran, and so with that, I knew that there was a lot of trauma, and he had a lot of financial credit issues. So when we first got married, I didn't want to join anything.
Sure.
Because I didn't want him to ruin my credit. But then as we continued to be married, I discovered there was also a issue with an addiction. And so then I've never wanted to join our finances since then, but I really hear what you're saying in that a married couple, you know, if they're going to be really united under the Lord, that they need to have their finances joined. We've been in and out of this for the last 12 years, and we can't ever seem to go more than 2 years without having a relapse.
Yes.
So I'm just thinking, what are your thoughts there? Because I need to make sure that I can take care of my kids. I need to make sure that our house doesn't go under.
Yes. Well, Debbie, I appreciate your call and what you're sharing here today. And I think what you're describing is one of those exceptions where we need to be wise about how we proceed. And given the reality of the situation, given that there has been a trauma, that there is a gambling addiction, those are very real things. And so I think that does change things quite a bit. You know, God can work in the midst of that, even with separate finances, if it's being done, because there's a specific reason there. And this would certainly be one of those where you can't put your finances in jeopardy with somebody who has an addiction that could end up running through this money and eliminate the ability for you to provide for your family. Now, let's pray that God will overcome that. And he's in the business of restoration, and he can bring healing to this situation. So let's ask him for that. And I'm confident you've been praying for that for a long, long time. But I don't think it would be wise, given the reality of the situation, for you just to merge everything together. I think you need to be thoughtful and careful about that. Continue to seek some help. And over time, if God heals him from that addiction, well, then absolutely, you can join things together. But until that point, I would be somewhat guarded about how you do that in terms of bringing total unity in this area of finance, given that there's a real issue here with regard to gambling. So you be prayerful about it. Perhaps involve somebody from your local church as well. If we can be of help providing some accountability and some counsel, we'd be happy to do that here at MoneyWise. But I think there are always exceptions, and you certainly brought one up today. God bless you. We appreciate your call. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks for being along with us. Thank you to Pat and Robert and Devin. Thank you for being here as well. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again on another edition of MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.